Hi, everyone. It is so good for Sam and I to be back on the phone with you all again. It's just, it's really good. It's felt like it's been a while, and, you know, maybe it's only been 2 weeks, but we have just missed you and doing these conversations. So we have a conversation that really came up because of a good friend of ours, a situation that he's going through, is a good friend of ours in base camp. And wanting to do something different in his current position, and it appears that as he has gone and tried to change some things, which would enhance what it is that his, I'll call it his employer, would like to see happen, though it would greatly enhance the overall mission and bring our friend's strength in a new way to bear on what they're after, it appears that they said no. And so as the men in base camp rushed to this man's heart to encourage him, to be praying before this interview he was on, and then to encourage his heart afterwards when he got a no to what he was proposing, just because all these men, and I'm not identifying him, as you can tell, and he can identify himself as he wants to, but all these men just love him dearly. And it's really the way the community and base camp operates, and I know it's how Secret Garden will operate as well as that grows. But it really began this idea with Sam and I to say, gosh, let's get on the phone and talk about all this. We all wonder at different times in our life, should we be doing something else? Is God telling us he wants to change things or he wants us to realign our life? And though I probably won't read the list, but I put a list on both the Secret Garden side and the Base Camp side under Sam's discussion. I was just brainstorming about an hour ago of all the reasons why I might think, huh, I wonder if God is up to something, changing something in my life, or I've heard this from other people. And so the question we want to talk about is, you know, how do we know? How do we know when God is saying, I'm about to change your circumstances, or I want you to make a change, or you're not to be here anymore, you're supposed to be somewhere else now, or maybe saying you're supposed to, you should have made a change a while ago. How do we know that? And so that's what our discussion is about tonight. So I thought what we could do, Sam, and jump in here, is maybe we could start with the comments that, a few comments that were given to us right off in your discussion, in your forum about this question, and read those and start going with those. And then we can obviously respond to any questions, comments that are given on the chat lines as well.
I think that sounds good. Let me start by just reading something that Bob Kane wrote, and then just ask you to respond to it.
Okay.
So, you know, the question is, what are the signs that we might see? And Bob says there's the old saying that we won't let go of what we have, even if it's killing us, until the pain of staying the same becomes greater than the pain of changing. It's sometimes a struggle to be open to stepping out of the status quo when the burden hand brings a level of comfort that it can include such things as a steady income and a house. And I just thought that was a really good response. What you know, just respond to that. What does that say to you?
Yeah, I was so busy trying to cut and paste the comment.
That's okay. Keep going.
Yeah, I'm not good at multitasking here. You know, I was so inspired by what Bob wrote and by his own life that, you know, it made me think that I don't think that any change comes or we take advantage of any change without some degree of risk. I really don't. Otherwise, it's simply a trade-off. And most trade-offs aren't that good. And so I do think there is always that struggle of, you know, there could be some loss in this. There's potential for gain, but there's potential for loss. I just think it's part of what happens. And I do think there is wisdom. I mean, we have to operate in wisdom. You know, faith is not the absence of wisdom. It's making a decision with wisdom, and usually we're making a decision that wisdom will not give us a complete answer. And so I do think, you know, as Bob said, there are the considerations of of income, you know, of family situation, of environment, and of all of these things. But gosh, I feel it. I feel it, and I think it should make us, you know, go to God, you know, for answers rather than jump. But it shouldn't paralyze us. That's my first heart reaction to his statement.
Well, and I agree with you that it's both risk, but I also think it's also the thing he talks about, which is usually one of the things that pushes us into some kind of change is a certain level of pain. You know, and we're sort of asking what are those kinds of pains, but I think it's just a good comment to make is very often our change is precipitated by some level of pain. The pain could be a loss of heart. It could be just the sheer tedium of it. It could be, you know, the fact that this isn't fitting us, and that's getting more and more obvious. But there's often a type of pain that will precipitate a change. Lisa on The Secret Garden says pain and desperation. I think she's right. You know, I think that those two, in fact, it's often the pain that finally gets us to the point where we're willing to take a risk.
Right, right. And well, you know what, why don't you go ahead and read some more of this, because there's something else I want to say, but really he starts to address it here.
Okay, so the next thing he says is, the imagery that comes to mind of this being something like a love it or list it proposition, as in the HGTV television series. The question comes down to whether or not something could be done to this present setting that would potentially turn into a place we'd love to stay and live and work and offer our weightiness. Otherwise, we may need to allow for the possibility that this just isn't going to work out. It may be time to say we're ready to take our calling to a new place that will better facilitate the effect of our life.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's the thing. I'm not familiar with, I assume... Yeah, it is a TV show called Love It or List It, and I love the idea that, as far as I can understand about this, the idea of, you know, can you change what you currently have to the point where it fits you? You love it. It is who you are. It allows you to be who you are. And after that effort, if that doesn't work, then just list it. Get rid of it. Move on. And I just think there is something really powerful about, I love that line, but powerful about that idea, because I just wonder, as I was writing a list of situations that tend to come up that make us think, you know, maybe I need to change what I'm doing, I think we need to look back, and Jack is going to address this in the next part.
That's right.
You know, I think we need to address, first of all, God, are you asking me to change something in my current situation versus changing my current situation? And I think we need to be really careful, because I think sometimes I can think that God is up to changing my situation simply because I don't like the way I was just treated. Or I don't think, you know, I'm being paid enough. Or I don't think that I'm being recognized, or so on. And I think we have to stop for a second and say, what is it that's going on in my heart about this? And I think if the reality is, I cannot bring fully who I am to the current situation, then I think we need to say, can I change that before I just change a situation?
Right. You know, so taking that picture in a different direction, I think sometimes we think of transition moments or God moving us on in something major, like it's a career change or we're going to move to a new city or... you know, something like that. But I think the reality is, in our life, we have more transition moments in a smaller arena. And so they may be going on all the time. So an example for my life is when I was at my software company, I had a partner who, how do I say this? Well, who actually was a really good complement to me. So he was just not very good at starting things. I mean, you know, if a project was doing really bad and it had to be turned around, or if we decided to start something new, like we wanted to start a user group, he just wasn't good at starting things. He just wasn't. And I was good at starting things or thinking out of the box if a project was doing bad. So I would often take a project that we were just starting, or if a project was doing bad, I'd take it over to turn it around. But at a certain point, that project was something I had to hand off to him because I had an enthusiasm and excitement for it to begin with, but at a certain point, it really wasn't calling the most out of me, and it was something that I could hand to him. And at that point, he was great at turning something that was a B into an A+. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, in our life, if I had all a bunch of little projects that had all gotten to the point where I'd done my part, I would have felt like I need to change my job. But the truth was, if I just got a couple projects that were really failing and I could turn them around, then I was doing really well.
Yeah.
Does that make sense, that difference?
Yep, it does.
So we don't always have to change everything in our life. Sometimes there's some smaller things where we just recognize I'm a better starter or I'm better at turning something around, but once it's doing well, I like to give it to someone else who's a better maintainer or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. And let me throw out a story, too, in my life. You know, when I was with Ransomed Heart, it got to a point where I realized that there was something that I needed to do more of. And as I pushed on the boundaries, as I pushed on the structure of the place I was in, I realized I couldn't do more of what I was meant to do here. And I tried. I mean, I think I tried graciously, asking questions and what if I did this and wouldn't this help what we're currently doing? And again, my story is not about Ransomed Heart. My story is about me and my journey and my decision here. And so I came to a point where I thought, you know, I cannot be who I'm supposed to be at this point in my life and stay here. And I've tried to make it work. I've had the conversations. I've suggested ways to make it work and how I believe it would benefit the organization, not just what God has put me in this world to do. And the only conclusion I could come to at that point was, then I must leave. I must either not do what God's put on my heart, or I must leave. I must step out and see how this is going to work now. And really does fall along the line of what Bob was saying here and the imagery, as he said, for me. Now, I want to throw out another thing that God clearly showed me during that time was, it was very evident. I'd been working for months to say, this is what I need to do, and I think it works here. But the other thing that God did, and I really do believe he does this, is I think to assure my making a right decision was he started to sour the situation that I was in.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I just remember so clearly from, 20 years ago, reading, you know, Henry Blackaby's book about experiencing God. And he said that God, when it's time for you to move on, what was once a blessing in your life, and I would say what was once an assignment, when that assignment time is over and you refuse to leave, he will now turn that blessing into a curse, if you will. He will sour it to get you to emotionally want to move on. And so God really did those two things with me. I mean, in one sense, I couldn't stay there any longer relationally. And I definitely couldn't stay there and do what God had put on my heart to do. So I think he does do that. I think those are things to look for.
Well, along these lines, but with a slight twist on it, Lisa from Secret Garden says, how do we differentiate between it's time to make a change and seeing God develop our character with perseverance and discipline? I think that's a fantastic question, Lisa.
Huge.
And so, you know, so you were just saying one sign would be it wasn't just sort of realizing you need to offer more elsewhere, but you were seeing some sourness in other situations. So,
right.
So what are some other signs that it might be time to change, or what are some signs where it might be your character?
Well, okay, so this is why I wrote that list, right? Because, and Lisa, that is such a huge issue. I have seen people blame God for leaving something because God told them. When the reality is, they just didn't like the job review they just got. They got criticized. They got their feelings hurt. You know, they weren't included. They didn't get a promotion. And I think that's probably where God is saying, you know, that person, I didn't ask you to leave. I asked you to learn a lesson. I'm actually teaching you something about a weakness in your life. And I know it came in a painful way, but I have something for you in this. Don't leave it, you know, or so on. And I think we have to be really careful. I think the first thing we have to look at is we have to go back to say, okay, am I able to bring who I am to this position, this place, this circumstance, and offer it as the glory of my life for the benefit of others? And I think if we look at that and go, gosh, maybe 10%, 5%, then we need to take that seriously. But it's about offering the glory of our life to others. It's not about, I want to be treated better, not primarily. On the other hand, you know, I do think, I mean, I would talk to a person, and if I feel like they are, you know, when it comes to the quality of their life, they're down to 10%, they're barely breathing, you know, at a heart level.
Right.
I might say, we got to get you out of this because this is toxic and it's going to take your life pretty soon. Versus, you know, I know that was hard. Bear up under it. Learn the lesson. There's something good for you in this.
I think those are good. What just reminded me of as you were talking is I think that when it comes time to make a change, we typically will get multiple signs. You know, it's not just one thing. It's not just a bad review. It's not just the boredom for 2 months at the job, but very often we'll have friends say to us, we'll hear it in prayer, we'll see a set of things, you know, relationships turn sour or something like that. Usually it's a constellation of things that God's using to give us direction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Lisa, I remember, I hate to say this about Gary, but Gary, do you remember when you and I were meeting at a couple of these retreats? So there was these retreats that we called tribal gatherings.
Yeah.
And that's where I sort of got to know you originally. And I went to 2 or 3 of these tribal gatherings. I don't think anybody here was at those. And you know what, Lisa? I didn't like them. Something didn't work for me. I don't know what it was. I was invited to a 4th one. And my wife said, Sam, what does your heart say? And I said, my heart says, don't go. You know, I don't want to go. But I prayed about it, and I just felt like God said go. I felt like, for me, God was saying, I want you to persevere with this thing. And on that 4th one, it was just great. I mean, it was amazing. It was like night and day. So there is something right about persevering. But I think that we need, you know, we need a few different signs. And in this case, I think the only sign I had was when I prayed, I felt like God say go. And but that was good enough because I felt it really clearly. It was like an authority in my heart.
Yeah, yeah. You know, there's another comment here that Kevin just made, and he said, I try to discern between, quote, hard, which anything of value will end up being, and, quote, I've lost purpose.
That's really
and,
good.
I think that's really good. We have to stay with, you know, I think many things, one of which is we have to listen to God. We have to say, God, what are you up to? What are you saying to me? Because I don't know that I'm discerning the situation, the circumstances well. Number two, I think we have to go back to, am I able to offer the weightiness, the brilliance, the beauty, the splendor of my life to people where I'm at, or is it actually killing it? So we go back to purpose, and it really is about other people. And then I think we have to go to our heart. How's my heart doing? But I started losing my thought. As soon as I said but, I lost my thought here.
Go ahead.
That's where it was. Okay. So, but what I want to throw out is this, and we all know this, right? We do need to listen to our heart. We need to be aware of our desires, but we also need to be very cunning to know that the level of sense about our desire changes. I mean, sometimes I am so aware of my desire. I can articulate it. I'm motivated by it. I understand it. And other times, I am wholly lost. I don't sense anything. I don't feel anything. I feel desireless, passionless. I am in a, you know, I am in discouragement. And we all go through these. You know, it comes and it goes. The desire and passion doesn't come and go, but the sense of it does. I think we have to be very careful that in those moments of discouragement, despondency, depression, whatever we want to call that. Now, we don't make decisions then. Now, I think if it's long-lasting, long-term, then that's our heart is telling us something. But in the short run, whether that's hours or days, maybe even a week, I think we have to be very careful we don't take that as a sign. We are long-suffering to understand what does this really mean.
Yeah, you know, Kevin continued after his quote by saying, I see so many folk persevering in misery where they shouldn't be, because they're afraid of the risk of change. He says, I end up fighting that camp, quote, God refining me, ends up being a crutch. And I think he's right. I mean, on one hand, there is a place that God is refining us, and we need to stay in the furnace when we're in that furnace. But there are times, I think, that we're simply just afraid to make a change. It's the time when that passion has been gone for years, you know, and we know that we should do something else, but we're just afraid. We're saying, I don't have the training. There isn't the position. I don't know what to do. And I think that, therefore, we stay in the status quo. And at that point, I don't think it's God's refining fire. I think it's the fire of our own tedium. It's the fire of our own inactivity. So, you know, we need a balance between those, as Lisa was saying. We need a balance between staying when that's God's doing something in our character, but also moving when God's doing that in our character. He's asking us to take a risk.
Right. Well, and the very thing that Kevin brings up, when we're walking alongside another person, you know, as Kevin does vocationally with his work,
yeah,
as well as he would do it with his heart anyway, I think we have to be careful that we don't assume or presume that we know what God is up to. Because I've done this before. I've said, hey, you know, it's really obvious that you are using perseverance as an excuse from the change God wants you to make. And then I kind of understand later that, no, God was probably really up to that. On the other hand, I mean, I'm sure I've told the guy, hang in there. You know, God is teaching you diligence. And then you realize later, you know, the guy's, it's an emotional suicide.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, I wish I was more careful with my words here. I wish I asked more questions. I wish I drove him to ask God, or we asked God together on this. So I'm not saying that we need to be afraid to enter into and speak into a person's life. But I know with me, I am just now becoming more careful with a person and their journey with God, and not to try to step in. And Kevin's very good with this with people. He's careful about this. I'm not saying he isn't. But I'm just saying in general, sometimes it's really hard to discern, as you're saying, Sam, that fine line between which side of the line is this person on when it comes to not leaving or jumping out and leaving or whatever that is, you know?
So let me sort of just switch gears a minute and read for you something that, who did it? Jack wrote. Jack wrote a set of really great responses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And his first response is, he says, too often we believe we have to make a, quote, to do or not to do, end quote, decision. I'm either going to quit this job or I'm not. I'm either going to go into ministry or I'm not. We narrow our choices. We never consider the possibility that we could do both, or that we could make some subtle adjustments to make more life more enjoyable in our current assignment. I think that, Jack, that was brilliant. I hope you're still on the line, because that was brilliant. But
yeah.
Gary, respond to it.
Well, and then I want you to respond to it as well. I do think that the enemy, he does this with me. He loves to play the all or nothing card, you know. You need to do something different. You do it completely or don't do it at all. And if I'm afraid of the risk, I'll do nothing. Or, you know, if I'm so fed up, I'll take the big leap and quit something or something like that. When God may be saying, I didn't ask you to do that. I didn't say all or nothing. What I'm saying to you is, I want you to offer more of what you see and what you know here. Don't leave. Don't quit. Offer it. Or, you know, I'm showing you how to realign your life, how to make adjustments. I still need you here in this place around these people. But I need you to make some adjustments. Don't leave them right now. So I really like what he had to say. You know, I mean, sometimes God does say, you have to leave. Like I said, that quote from Graham Cook was huge for me.
Mm-hmm.
When I started The Noble Heart, when he said, you know, sometimes God asks you to go somewhere where your friends cannot follow. And I think that does happen sometimes. But I think we have to be careful of the all or nothing. God may be asking for a slight change and not for a, quote, leap of faith, you know, from us. So that's how I'd respond to his comment, which I think is brilliant. What about you?
Well, I just had a discussion with my sister, who lives, you know, about an hour away from me, and she's belonged to a certain church for about 10 years that she's really liked. She really has liked it. It's brought life to her. She has two kids who have some handicaps. One has a learning disability, one has an emotional disability, and this church has great service for it. It's just been a really good fit for them family. But then about 2 years ago, they asked her to be on the building committee. I cannot imagine why they asked my sister, who hates that. Well, she sort of dutifully got on the building committee, and within 6 months, she began to hate everything about the church. She couldn't drive by the church without being angry or nauseated or anxious or frustrated. And so she and I were talking about, 6 or 9 months ago, and she was just telling me, I'm on this committee, and I hate it. And so I said, just quit. She said, well, I gave him a 2-year commitment. I said, are you doing any good? She says, no, I'm not doing any good. I'm trying to skip the meetings when I can. I hate it. I said, just quit. Quit. So she, emailed the chairman or chairperson of the committee, and they said, sure, that's fine, no problem. And she said, within a month, all of a sudden everything was good again. It's this one tiny thing that was only taking up an hour a week or maybe an hour every other week, but it soured everything. And so like Jack was saying, sometimes you can just make a subtle adjustment. Now, it's not always that drastic, but very often there's just a couple things that are sour. It could be a couple relationships in the office. It could be just a couple tasks that are so unsuited to us. And so I do think Jack is right that it doesn't always mean we have to change everything in our life. Sometimes there's some subtle adjustments we can make, and those make a huge difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's just such a good point. It's so good. And the other thing is this. I really do believe that when God shows us what he wants us to offer, he'll show us eventually the place he wants us to offer it, and that's what we refer to as an assignment, and it may be a paid place, so we'd call it a job, it may be a volunteer position, whatever that is, but he says, here's where I need you to offer it. And I think if things do go sour or feel unfulfilling at the moment or something, I think, first of all, we need to start with God. Do you still want me here? Is this the community, the place, the circle of influence you still want me to bring the glory of my life, my effect? We need to ask him that question. And then I think the second question has to be, all right, are you asking me to do it differently, though, because I'm dying here or something doesn't seem to be working? I think if we see ourselves as on mission, and the mission is our life, I mean, it is who we are. We're not coming up with some skill, it's not who we are. We're bringing who we are to this place. Then we need to ask him, God, why is this not working?
Mm-hmm.
You're speaking to me about something that you want to address in my heart. Are you wanting me to do this differently? Am I doing this falsely? What are you saying to me? I think we really have to start there with that question. Is there an adjustment you want me to make? And not just presume. See, I think the other thing that really strikes me about this whole conversation, as you wrote it on that discussion, is I think we can make God's will about our happiness. I think it's really easy to question, should I be here, simply because I'm not happy. I don't feel like I'm being treated well enough. I don't have as much of a spotlight as I would like, and so on. Now, we would never admit that, but I think we have to stop and ask God, am I making this about my happiness? In other words, going back to the cruise liner,
right,
metaphor versus the battleship. Now let me go back to, let me give an illustration of someone who's on the phone. I think this really plays into well, and that is this. Misty is a phenomenal physical therapist. She really is. She is so good at it. And she makes a good living at it. But I think a lot of the time she is not really happy with it. I know it. We're close friends. We're family. And I know there's times when she wishes she could do something else. She's tired. She's exhausted. She doesn't want to do this anymore. But I do know that she touches people physically, emotionally, and spiritually, that she would not touch, that would not experience the kingdom of God in the way that they do if she were not their physical therapist.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw her have this huge impact in people's lives at the Sheer Beauty Retreat by what she shared from her life with the microphone, with the conversations she had at tables, and literally the way that she brought healing to people physically by helping them for 5 minutes. and all of a sudden their pain was gone and they could concentrate. I mean, it was a sight to see.
Wow.
And so it would be very easy for her to say, I don't feel fulfilled as a physical therapist anymore, and take that as a sign of God in a moment and leave. And she could be absent from this huge impact that she has in people's lives. And she has many moments when she does love it as well. I know that to be true. So anyway, I just think what Jack said and what you have added to it is so important.
Well, going down this lane, though, a little bit, John Hard is talking about a decision that he came to a few years ago. And, you know, he had some negative attitudes. He couldn't wait to get out of the place. And finally, a guy he was working with asked him, in fact, I'm reading him. He says, he asked me to write down my reasons for staying and my reasons for going. As I wrote, my reasons for going were all along the lines of, this is more and more what's on my heart. And as I wrote my reasons for staying, the final sentence always ended with, it's your duty. And I think that is actually very profound what he said, because there is a way that, I don't know if it's the modern evangelical world or if it's sort of the stoic nature in us, where we think that we have to run our lives out of duty. Now, we do need to respond to duty. I don't mean to diminish that. But duty is some type of external constraint forced upon us that cannot keep us going in the long haul. In the end, our willpower is exhaustible. Our willpower will run out. But what is really true to our heart and true to who we are will not run out. And so there is a way, I think, that we have to look at this and saying, have I just been running on duty and willpower and drudgery for years? Because at a certain point that runs out. We God wants us to be running from the strength of the heart that's coming from within, that's overflowing, as opposed to just sort of this bit and bridle that's driving us forward and forward, but we eventually want to give in.
Right. Right. That's so good, because you know what? Want to is very important. You know, C.S. Lewis talks about, you know, a man who has a broken leg needs a crutch, and he needs to use it. But there's a point where that leg gets healed, and to continue to use that crutch would be wrong.
Yeah.
It would be unhelpful. And he was saying that there are times in our life emotionally when we need to fall back on duty, what we know we ought to be doing and needs to be done. But we can't live like that all the time. That means something is broken at that point. And then when our heart kind of awakens back up to desire, we can go back to the want to. We live from that. We know it's the right thing. But let's stay away from duty at that point. Duty, as he said, is a crutch. So I agree. I think that's just such an important thing.
You know, I want to talk about one other thing that I think sometimes can be a sign. At least it's a sign we have to change the way we approach things. And I think that is the sense that an organization or a person or something is controlling our lives. I think that it's very common that we feel like our lives are dictated by external circumstances. You know, my boss won't let me try that for that position, or my church won't give me an opportunity to be the worship leader or something. And there is a way that I think we sometimes allow, or we feel like our lives are being controlled by external circumstances. And I think when that's happening, it's a time to really reexamine our life. Now, it doesn't mean that we should leave our job right away or something, but we should not be letting our jobs or our bosses or the circumstances dictate who we are and what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's at least a sign that we have to make that internal change. I do think that we often feel just powerless, and we're not.
Right.
We are not powerless. We never
right.
are.
Right. We are not owned by
We might be confused, but we're not powerless.
Right. No, I think that's really good, and I think all these things that we've talked about, that we've listed, you know, they should encourage us to what we should be doing anyway, and that's always just evaluating the condition of our heart and asking God, are you up to something different now? Is there something else you want me to do? Are we at a realignment point in my life? Has there been a season change that you need to tell me about? So, you know, as we come to the conclusion of our call here, we're at 40 minutes right now. And I want you to do the same, Sam. I want to tell a couple stories of some things that I would throw out as things to look at if there is change coming, to take it seriously. You know, I started with the story of leaving Ransom Heart, that there was something on my heart that I wanted to do. I know God had prepared me and compelled me to do, and I pushed the boundaries to see if I could do it there. And when the answer became obviously I couldn't do it there, I knew I needed to leave to stay true to who I was. And then I also noticed that things were souring. So it was God's kind of, hey, just in case you look over your shoulder and decide to walk back, I want to make sure you don't, for your own sake.
Mm-hmm.
So one is, can you bring to your world who you are in the current circumstance? I think that's a very valid question to ask. I do. So let me give you another story. So going back now a few years before that was when I was with Athletes in Action, something I did for 15 years. And they came in and they were making a change that was out of my control. They were changing. They were discontinuing my job. I wasn't getting laid off and I wasn't getting fired. They just discontinued the job that
position.
I was doing,
yeah.
That position. And they were asking me to do something else. I literally had a decision in front of me because what I was doing was no longer existed. So I had to then make a decision, what I do what they're asking me to do. So there was a clear decision point at that juncture in my life. So number one, there was a decision point in front of me. The second was that I went to a friend of mine and I asked him, I said, how should I look at this? How should I view this? And he's the one that came to me and said, Gary, let me ask you, you know, how passionate are you about evangelism? Because I was in a ministry that was about evangelism. It was a very good question. Then he asked me, Gary, how passionate are you about sports? Because it was a sports evangelism ministry. I mean, he was asking very core questions of me. And then his last question was, Gary, what is it that excites you? What is it that you love to do? And so having someone on the outside probe my heart for me was huge. And he understood the heart enough to ask me those questions. So getting the input of other people is extremely important. They can see things that we can't see. And so then, one, we need to ask, is there a true decision in front of me that I must make, or am I just wondering about a change from what I'm doing? And then let me go to my third story, and that was leaving Focus on the Family. God had made it very clear to me one day that a change would be coming, that he had invested in my life in such a way that he was going to change things so that investment could come fully out. And so there was a revelation that happened during that time, and then I felt like I just needed to wait. I felt like God said, you wait, I will bring circumstances together in such a way that you will know that this is the next place for you. That was easier for me. And that's when I left Folks in the Family and went with Ransom Heart. So one was what I was currently doing was taken away from me, and I had to make a decision at this point. The second one was a revelation and a sense of God saying, just wait, and when I pull things together, you will know it's for you because I've shown you certain things about who you are, and you will know that it fits. And then the third thing was, God, you know, it was a situation where God said, now, for you to be who you are, can you do it here? And as I pushed on all the boundaries, I realized I couldn't, and I knew I needed to move on. So there are a few factors right there that I mentioned just through my story.
Okay. I'm going to tell a couple stories about a couple other people. I originally told a sister, I earlier told a story about my sister, where there was a situation that was mostly good, but there was one small thing that was souring the whole thing for her. Well, 2 years ago, I was on a calling intensive, and a guy in my group had a job. He was in an area that was a very depressed financially area. There weren't many jobs, and he had a job that wasn't very good. He was maybe 27 or 28 years old. He was only out of college for a few years. He didn't see any other jobs for him, and he was in a job that was just a bureaucratic morass, and he hated it. And during the calling intensive, he realized part of about himself is he likes efficiency and he likes order and he likes activities that have meaning. And of course, his job rebelled against all of those things. You know, very little had meaning and very little had order. So because he had some, he was in management, and in a low-level management, he had some management, he decided to take, I think it was just half an hour or 45 minutes a day with his little staff, and every day they take half an hour or 45 minutes to try to say, how can we make this more efficient? What can we do to make this better? And he and I have stayed in touch, and he said his whole perspective on his job has changed by making one thing truer to who he is, you know, to make the assignments and the tasks have meaning instead of just be boring, has brightened his whole day. And now during the day, he's looking for ways he can improve it. And it's still not the best fit of a job for him. It really isn't. But he's made one small change, and it's really made a difference for his whole approach to work. So that's a story of, you know, sort of going right along Jack Lennedy's ideas about sometimes just small alignment, realignment can make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
But also,
well, and Sam, and let me tell one story very similar to that. You know, here I am the first year and a half with folks in the family. I'm absolutely not enjoying it. I hate it, actually. And I knew God was up to something with me, that he had stripped all these things away from me to teach me some things that he could only teach me in that condition. And about a year and a half after, as this was going on, I got to a point where I just said, you know what, I might as well just do what I think I ought to be doing, what I want to do in this position. And either I'm going to figure out that I shouldn't be here, or they're going to figure out and they're going to fire me. So let's just get this clear. I mean, let's just put the cards on the table. Let's call the hand. And it's funny, I did the same thing. I started doing what I loved doing as I was traveling around and working with these organizations that folks in the family had started. And all of a sudden, I loved my work, and they loved me helping them.
And your work wasn't that different.
It really wasn't that different. Exactly. Exactly. And so, I mean, I felt like quitting, but I thought, well, instead of quitting, why don't I just do this, and I'll either get fired or I will quit, but at least I'll know. And that little change changed everything for me. Yeah.
So another example, and this is an example of, I think, a real key indicator for change. Gary and I were just talking today with a woman who's been going through the online calling course. I'm not going to say who it was, but she's a very, very talented woman. She's, I'm guessing, you know, late 30s, early 40s. I shouldn't say that, but she's not online. And she's very entrepreneurial. So she's a business consultant, and she has been able to start up some companies. And she started her first company because she really felt this was God's call, and she felt the desire for it. And she said after she did it for 6 or 8 years, the desire was gone. But she had a really passionate desire for something else, so she did that other thing. And then just in the last 12 months, a passion for that has disappeared. And so she was asking me and Gary, she was saying, am I just a high-maintenance person, you know, that I'll never be satisfied with anything? But Gary and I, you know, we've heard her story, and we understand her, and I just don't think she's a high-maintenance person any more than any of us are. It's that I think sometimes when we really sense that God has put a passion on our heart for something, and then when it's gone, I think we can sense when it's just a time to persevere or when that God-given passion has just gone. It's just disappeared. I think it really has. I think it's because God is saying, I am moving you to a different place. It is time for another assignment. Or I might be refining your desires, and part of this realignment, this reassignment, this transition is because I'm refining your desires to make it clearer to us what our real calling is. And so I think really losing that passion when we've had it is just a very good sign.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a good sign for her. I think it's clear that God is moving her into something else. And she's reading the, you know, she's reading the signs correctly.
Right, and I love the fact her honesty is saying, I just feel like I must be high maintenance.
Yes,
you know,
wasn't that a great line?
I thought,
and she's not.
Right, he's probably saying, you know, I just kind of thought, well, he's probably the one saying, right, I need you to make a change. I'm the one that's putting this in you to do this. You know, I want to pull up this, I'm just going to read this quote from Oswald Chambers. He, you know, and of course everybody knows how much Oswald Chambers impacts me, and I know he does you as well, Sam, because you read a lot of his,
yeah.
My Utmost for His Highest. But he said, if the Spirit of God has stirred you, make as many things inevitable as possible, and let the consequences be what they will. And I would say, you know, when God puts a stirring on your heart, make as many things as inevitable as possible. Now, what I don't think that means is, well, quit your job. That makes it pretty inevitable, you know, completely change your situation. I don't think that's what he's saying. It's actually putting things positively in place, you know, to try to make it happen. And I think that's what we need to do, is have that conversation with our boss. Have, you know, actually step out and try this. Actually put something in place that you can't back out from all of a sudden, you know. Start to write that book. Start to call up that person and say, hey, I'd love to talk to you over lunch, or whatever that is. Make it inevitable and just see what God does with it.
Yeah. You know, Joy from Secret Garden has a really good question that I think I'd like to at least touch on here. And she says, what do you do if God has changed your situation, but you don't have a sense of passion on your heart for anything? And Joy, I think that's a terrific question. I'm really glad you brought that up, because I do think that's a really common question. We hear that our calling is found in the desires of our heart, and then somebody has to say, but what are my desires? And the first thing I want to say is there's a really good chapter in Gary's book on discovering our desires. And I think that there are times where we feel passionless or desireless. But I would, you know, I guess my first thing for you, Joy, is I'd say, go back and review your life over the last 10 or 20 years and say, what are things that have stirred your life? What are stories that have stirred your heart? What are things that you've done that have stirred your heart? And what are things that you have done that haven't stirred your heart? And just try to think of some things that you could do today just to walk along those lines of things that have given you some passion in the past. And I think sometimes it's sort of like pushing a car a little bit. Once it gets going, it's easier to steer. Sometimes just doing a few things that you have enjoyed. I don't care if it's gardening or watching a movie or reading a book or working in a soup kitchen. You know, sometimes just doing a few things that have brought joy reawaken some joys, and God, you know, the car starts moving and we can steer it easier.
Right. That's really good. And that is such a great question, Joy Lynn, that you asked. And here's where I immediately go with that question is, one, I don't know what this means that you're that God changed your circumstances, your situation. But the first place my heart goes to is, okay, I'm going to assume that was a painful situation, whether it was done painfully or just the loss of it's painful. And I'll tell you, pain, hurt, betrayal dulls the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm thinking, okay, first of all, it probably... it's just dulled your heart. It has just muted the voice of your heart right now. And there just probably needs to be some healing, some recuperation, you know, restoration probably right now, because the desires that God has written there, they're there. They're there. They can't go away. They are written indelibly on your heart. So the other thing is, I just wonder sometimes when the heart is silent, sometimes it's just tired. It is just exhausted, and so maybe rest is what's needed.
Absolutely, Gary. That's really good.
And then the other thing is that sometimes when God is engineering a realignment, we have lived in something, I guess we could say the false self. We lived as another person for so long, and God then engineers a realignment to who we really are. It just takes a while for our real voice to find its voice, and to get that other voice to stop for a while so our real heart comes forward. So, and then I would just go exactly to what Sam was saying is, your desire, your heart's there. Sometimes going back to earlier days will reveal it, because right now it's your heart has laryngitis, if you will. So you just got to go back to when it did have a voice, and you will find clues there. And so that's where I'd go with that question.
That's really good. This has really been fun, Gary. This has gone so fast.
Yeah, it really has. It really has. So we probably, because we're almost at an hour now, we should end it. I want to throw out a resource, an idea for you guys, not to necessarily talk about it now, but I really want to highly recommend this book called Spiritual Rhythm by Mark Buchanan. He's done one of the best jobs I've ever read, and I know a lot of the Basecamp guys have read it, on just understanding the rhythms of our life. And so he used the analogy of nature, because God created nature, you know, of of winter, spring, summer, and fall. But he doesn't just simply play it out as, you know, when you're born, you're in the springtime of your life, and then as you get older, you eventually get to the fall, and then you get to winter, and that's when you die, and the end of your life. He plays it out that our life continually goes through seasons, and what do you do in each one of those seasons? I mean, how do you live well in those seasons? Because you can't change a season. You know, in our life, we can't be in the winter in Michigan and always just fly to Florida or Arizona and spend the winter there, you know? In our life, we are in winter, and so how do you live well there? How do you learn from it? And how do you prepare for spring to come? And so, anyway, I just want to throw that out as a resource that's worthy of your time and reading. It's just great, I think it plays into this discussion of how do you know what God's up to. So,
that's good, Gary.
Any last thing, Sam?
No,
we're done.
I think this is a great discussion.
Yeah, me too. So, everyone, thank you for this, for being here with us, for doing this, for the great comments and questions and dialogue that's going on. And if you have more thoughts about this, things you've learned or things that have come up that you remembered or stories you want to share, do that, especially on the discussion that will stay there that Sam set up, because we can keep going back to it. And for those of you who are new, is every time you respond to a discussion, it will show up on the left side of the activity page. So we'll see it there. And that's usually what drives us to, oh, I want to go look at that discussion again because so-and-so said something there. So,
good old
anyway,
stuff,
yep, very good. So we will let you know what's happening next week and the weeks to come. And, again, it's so good being with you. So thank you, everyone. Good night.
Thanks, everyone. This is really good.
Yep. See ya.